This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the premier events in African-American culture and actually beyond is the National Black Writers Conference. And the individual who's responsible for that is none other from Mega Evers College here in Brooklyn. Dr. Brenda M. Green joins us. Dr. Green, how are you today?
I am fine. I am blessed. And thank you, Reverend Mark, for having me on the program.
Yes, it's an honor to have you. We were just going a little bit down memory lane, ladies and gentlemen, because I was trying to recollect when the last time, and this is not necessarily a good thing. It's been a number of years since I was at the Black Writers Conference, but I attended the one in 1991. I remember that distinctly. And I know it has grown. We just had the Black Writers Conference, just ended a few days ago. How was it this year? And what were some of the highlights?
Oh, it was phenomenal. But I do want to just say that I'm currently the director of the conference, but the conference was the vision of the late John Oliver Killens, who was our writer in residence at McGrovis College in the 1980s. And we held our first conference in 1986. When he transitioned, we held another conference in 88. We held it every few years. And I took over as conference director in 2002. And then we began to hold a four-day conference in even years and a one-day or two-day symposium in alternate years. So our conference that we just held was the first major conference that we held since 2018, because we normally would have had the big conference in person in 2020, but of course we know what happened. We had COVID intervene, so we held it online. And that was very well attended. But this, going back in 22, we also held it online. So coming back in person was wonderful. We opened with Michael Eric Dyson and Farrah Jasmine Griffin giving a keynote address on the theme of the conference, All That We Carry, Where Do We Go From Here? We had a pack hundreds of people in the audience, and Reverend Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, he had the crowd captivated with his stories, talking about everything from banned books to activism, critical race theory, to hip hop generation. And he was doing a lot of code switching. And it was really riveting. And Farrah Jasmine Griffin is really a good person to have with him because she knows his rhythm. So we got a lot of great feedback from that. And then we continued. Another highlight was with Taya Miles, who the conference book is the motivation for having the theme, All That We Carried. where do we go from here? And she wrote all that she carried, The Journey of Ashley Sachs. I don't know if you're familiar with the book, which is historical narrative on an enslaved woman who passes a sack to her daughter and the journey of that sack. So the whole concept of looking at where we are now, what's going on in this country around this oppression of voting rights, the threats to our democracy, the environmental and systemic racism, the banned books, when you look, the need for healing, when you look at all of that, how are we dealing with this? And how do we move forward? So that was the theme that was for all of the roundtables over the next few days, which were Friday and Saturday. And our keynote honorees addressed that.
That's outstanding. I see you also honored, if I'm not mistaken, Paul Coates and Peniel Joseph. You had a star-studded group, didn't you?
We certainly did. Paul Coates has given so much with Black Classic Press, and he came to those early conferences. But he began his career by taking books to the prisons. And then he developed that publishing company. So we always give an award for institution building. He received a Margaret T. Burroughs Cultural Historian Award. And Peniel Joseph has just really risen. His last book, The Third Reconstruction, I think, symbolizes what has happened, where we are now with all of this backlash as a result of white supremacy. We also honored Bernice McFadden. And we honored Percival Everett, but we're going to have a post-conference event where he was not able to attend, but we're going to have a post-conference event where he will be able to engage in a conversation with the writers. We're very excited about that. They get the National Black Writers Conference Award. One in honor of John Williams, one in honor of W.E.B. Du Bois, that was Peniel Joseph's, Toni Morrison for Bernice McFadden, and Coates, I said, the Margaret T. Burroughs Award.
Amen, amen. Obviously, it was Du Bois who said that we can't just write for writing's sake. And I know the theme of the conference, with all that we faced, I believe, where do we go from here? What were some of the in social justice issues that you addressed at the Black Writers Conference this year?
I think we zeroed in on the impact of environmental racism. Emily Rappaport has written a book that talks about survival lessons for mothers and looking at the apocalypse. And now we have climate refugee racism. And we looked at what's going on in our schools. Bettina Love, who talked about that we need to be teaching not just to survive in school, but to thrive in school. She advocates for abolitionist teaching. We had, of course, going back to Reverend Dyson, just talking about how the voting and the importance of voting is something that we can't take for granted. We may not agree with who's running, but when we don't vote, we are making a stance. We are complicit in not voting. And in fact, we partner with the Brooklyn chapter of the NAACP, the Center for Law and Social Justice at Megarus College, and the Student Government Association to have a table at the conference on voter education and voter registration, because there are too many people are still saying it doesn't matter. And it has to matter. And our students need to be involved. Our general public, our community, they need to take a stand. So part of what we wanted to do is to underscore the importance of voting. And while doing that, also that while we're in the midst of this activism, we also have to have a way of taking care of ourselves, of healing, because it's a traumatic experience. So you cannot move forward unless you are taking care of yourselves and building in ways for self-care and nurturing. But you have to continue to persist and resist. We had a youth program that looked at the theme of the youth program is also all that we carry, but it's around activism. The middle and high school students came to see Jason Long, who talked about his experiences growing up and what motivated him to become, to educate himself and to continue despite not seeing himself reflected in the literature, despite having challenges around the criminal justice system, despite being stereotyped and how he persisted. And it was really motivating for the young people because they were able to listen to him and to ask questions and also to get their book signed by him. So I said that was some of the highlights. Our keynote address coordinated by Gloria Brown Marshall also addressed the importance of how do we engage in activism and what will happen if we're not involved in that.
What would you say is the state of Black authorship, Black writing, Black publishing? Where are things? I don't think we ever really talk about that. And for those of us who exist in the world of appreciation of Black writing and Black literature, is there enough of appreciation outside of our circle? Are enough of us reading and supporting? I like to think that with the assault on Black books and Black education and all these book bans, that would awaken people. Is that awakening the people?
Or I just think it is. That's a very good question. And I'm glad you asked that because we had a roundtable on the myths and realities of publishing. And so when you do have these attacks on book bans and you have publishers who are saying that you don't have an audience for your book, what do? You cannot rely on the publishing houses. We have people from the big houses, like the Random and Harper's Court, the big publishing houses, but we also had the independent publishers and people like Karen Hunter. There are more Black books being published by Black writers, but the challenge is how do you market them? How do you let people know they're being published? So you have organizations that are being formed, coalitions that are being formed among Black writers who have organized to look at how they can promote books within their own circles, and a consortium of Black publishers coming together. We had that when books first began being published in the 1970s, but there's a move towards recognizing that if we as a community of Black and Brown people do not take control and power over ensuring that we are published and looking for ways outside, thinking outside of the box on how to publish, we will not be published because there's more writing and the writing is more complex and more complicated. The stories are more representative of our complex experience, human experience. And you still have people in the publishing industry who are still looking at stereotypes. Or we had the rise when the Black Lives Matter movement with George Floyd, you had all these books coming out. And many of the readers were not Black. And then so you see now when you look at what's happening, you don't see those books being published. But it doesn't mean that those issues have gone away. So you have people who are going to publish on these social and political issues, but you also have people who are publishing on our stories, who are giving alternative narratives to our story in this country. That's why we had a panel on the power of historical narratives. They're giving you a deeper portrait of what our experience has been like. There, Taya Miles, she talks about the intricate relationship between Black Americans and indigenous people. And also you have people who are looking outside of the country. What are the common themes and trends that we see in literature published on the continent? That's also part of what we should be reading. So it's much more open and we have to be deliberate about finding ways to publish the many writers who are writing and to support them. And one of the other things that came up was the whole idea of how do you address the banned books? Some people said on the panel, I wish my book were banned. When your book is banned, that means people are paying attention. And so we need to make sure that we purchase those banned books. Ta-Nehisi Coates talks about having banned book parties, supporting them through the libraries and schools. Two of the books we used last year in our youth program were banned. So we have to embrace banned books because that means you are making a difference. You're saying something. And we have to embrace those organizations and support those who are rallying against that.
Those are all important points. But it would also seem we can never discuss too much the need for us to have more Black publishers, more Black publishing houses. So what's the status of that?
Again, the publishing houses that are emerging tend to be small and independent. And I think the way you ensure their survival is through consortiums. And you have a choice when you purchase a book or going to someplace like Amazon or going to the African American Literary Book Club, which is the largest online site for books published by Black writers in this country, or going to Third World Press and purchasing directly from them, or Just Us Books, Cheryl and Wade Hudson. They have the oldest children's and YA literature. So those publishing houses are not going to survive unless we support them. And it might be a little bit more money, but when we're not supporting them, we are not contributing to making sure we're helping them to make a difference. So again, we have to be intentional and deliberate about supporting independent publishers, about supporting the small publishers, and spending that extra money or taking the time to get a book from a publishing house that's not going to turn it over in one day through Amazon Prime. That's how we ensure their survival. You know, I always think about what Alice Walker said. We are the ones we're waiting for. We are the ones we're waiting for. It's up to us. And we can't blame people if we don't support our own.
That's a good point. Also, any concerns raised at the conference about the impact of artificial intelligence on Black writing?
Yes, that did come up, of course, in our roundtable, particularly on looking at race, technology, and the media. And again, it's AI is here. It's not going away. So how do we use it to our advantage? So there was discussion about looking for the books that are generated by AI, or looking for the fact that people are writing papers that might be generated by AI. And so how do you critically interrogate and analyze what is being said? How do you, particularly in our schools, how do you get our young people and our youth and our college students to recognize that AI might be used to help you write a paper that's more grammatically correct? But in terms of the original thinking and ideas, you have to look beneath the surface. So again, goes to for our general public, our community, our youth, how are we engaging in really deep and critical thinking? And I think that's across the board, because it's so easy to just take in the sound bites, you know, that we see in the media, to not read deeply when we see what's happening on the internet. So it's educating ourselves and educating the public how to interrogate and question what we're being told, because we're not going to lose AI, but we can use it to help support some of the research we're doing, support some of the research, and recognize sometimes that can be a starting point. It all goes back to critical thinking. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
folks, the National Black Writers Conference just concluding a few days ago here in New York. So I want to be clear, is it annual now?
The conference is annual. We have the National Black Writers Conference. The main four-day conference is in the even years. And then we have the National Black Writers Symposium, where we focus on a particular writer or a theme for that day. So next year for 2025, during the last week in March, we are focusing on YA and middle school literature, because that field is really growing. And so we have not really zeroed in on focusing on the writers in that field. And you also have adults who are reading the YA literature. And then we are going to analyze the evaluations from this conference and look at what we plan for 2026, because as soon as a conference ends, we begin planning for the next 2 years. And I'm sure it will have to do with what's going on around climate control. Emily Rabahul talks about climate refugees, what's happening in our climate around the social justice, the voting rights. That is still, those are still topics around what's happening. Where have we gone now with the publishing industry? What has been the impact of the Black Lives Matter movement? Are we still addressing what are the remnants from that? And again, how have our narratives changed? One of the biggest banned books was the 1619 Project, right? And why? Because it gave a complex portrait of the history of our nation. And so as these books continue to be banned, as you have people fighting against censorship, where are we going to be from 2 years from now? We know, we can imagine where we will be if we do nothing. But if we put things in place to resist this, where will we be and how can we continue to resist this?
Amen.
So
Amen.
Look out for the National Black Writers Conference, and people can visit our website to get a picture of the full program, www.centerforblackliterature.org, www.centerforblackliterature.org. We will also have videotapes of some of the roundtables. If you missed the conference, the roundtables we had on Friday will also be featured on C-SPAN, Book TV. So that's the roundtables on Black writers' letters to America and race, the impact of race, technology, and social media on the Black experience and also the healing power of literature. That'll be on C-SPAN. So if you missed it, go visit our website and you'll have a chance to see those panels and also other panels in the past. We have a YouTube page that gives pictures and a portrait of a lot of the programs that we've done. And also, if you want to get a sense of what the 1986 conference looked like, we have a digital archive that's also on our website. It goes back to 1986 and highlights the programs from 1986 and moving forward, as well as the work of the Center for Black Literature.
All right. .org. And folks, in this struggle for our literature, for our history, and this struggle against these bans, Center for Black Literature.org is a stop on the not so underground railroad that we need to support. So we invite one and all to do that. And I'm going to get myself together and attend once again the Black Writers Conference, that I will never forget the experience I had there some time ago. And it is a wonderful experience for all, and an urgent experience we all need as well. Dr. Brenda M. Green, it's an honor to have you on Make It Plain.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And we look forward to seeing you not only as an attendee, but as a participant at the National Black Writers Conference. So thank you so much for giving us this platform.
Thank you, Dr. Green.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.